B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic.
Five o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show. It is brought to us, as always, by Guida Door and Window. That's right. Take advantage right now of Guida Door and Window's big year-end sale. 40% off all windows and doors until December 31st. Call 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit GOGUIDA.com. All right, 5 o'clock hour. We're going to lead off with an email that I got because Tyrone, this might get under your skin. It's from my man H, and H always calls me OG. Wentz better pray he has the career McNabb had. McNabb won playoff games in his second year, then won two in his third year. He owned the NFC after that for years. McNabb also won the division every year, and Wentz continues to lose to the Cowboys. Wentz weapons include Alshon and Ertz, who are better than any wide receiver or tight end five ever had. Your thoughts?
Alshon, I guess H has a time machine in his email. Back when Alshon could move. Ertz is a good player. But
Ertz may end up a borderline Hall of Famer, H says.
Yeah, he's right. Ertz is a good player. That's everything else he said was, I mean, okay, he did. Five did do a lot of things.
He's saying that Wentz has better weapons than Five, and Five accomplished all that.
Yeah, I think H is insane if he thinks that. H can think whatever he wants. The other part is, we know for a fact that Brian Dawkins was a Hall of Famer, right? We know that, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, that's a fact, right?
Yeah.
Which lock Hall of Famer is on the defense right now?
So you're saying what? The defense helped Five?
It absolutely.
By giving them shorter fields.
How about this? Bobby Taylor and Troy Vincent? Al Harris?
Uh-huh.
Will we take that as a secondary?
Yeah, I don't think he's looking at the defense helping the offense. He's just looking at straight offensive weapons.
Well, he's
saying Wentz has better offensive weapons.
Yeah, he's wrong. I would take Pinkston over Aguilar any day of the week because Pinkston was a legitimate deep threat. He wasn't much else, but he actually
stretched the field. But he's saying Wentz's best dudes are better than Five's best dudes.
Well, T.O. was Five's best dude.
Well,
that was the year he got to the Super Bowl. He had T.O.
I'm just playing devil's advocate with you. With H. I'm just the messenger between H and you.
I'm fine with people. I already said McNabb is the greatest quarterback in Eagles history. He is. That's a statement of fact. I believe. So therefore, if you don't believe, that's fine. That's your opinion. I believe Wentz will be better than Five. I do believe that. I think he's going to pass Five.
I think you're also hoping that.
No, that's not hope for me. I still believe. This year, I have not been shaken like others this year. I have not been shaken. Because I saw what happened with Five when things got a little off kilter.
But you have to admit, you're not a Five fan.
But I was
a fan of Five.
I mean, who is?
Well, I mean, listen, you got to be able to separate.
I am able to separate.
The Five personality from the Five ability.
I said Five is the great. I started with Five is the greatest quarterback in Eagles history. Five is a borderline Hall of Famer. If Five was better politically off the field, he probably would get in because that matters. If he didn't do some of the things he's done, he probably would get into the Hall of Fame. Seriously, because that plays a role.
No,
Five.
I get that. I'm just looking at your impression of Five.
Yeah.
And sometimes, and you've admitted this, sometimes the personal way you feel bleeds into your actual assessment.
But not with Five. I saw what Five did. Five did not have great weapons. He did not have great weapons. But he had guys who would play a role. And he had a real coach who knew how to coach role players. These guys don't know what they're doing. I guarantee if Andy Reid was coaching Mac Hollins, he wouldn't have been good. He'd had 20 catches this year. Not Five. He had 20 catches because Andy knew what he was doing. I don't know if this coach knows what he's doing.
What do you think Mac's doing right now?
He got picked up.
Oh, he did?
He got picked up by the Dolphins.
Really?
So he's getting to base special teams again. He's probably overjoyed. Nice weather. I don't think he wanted playoff pressure.
Good for Mac.
So God forbid he has to actually play wide receiver.
It's going to Ray in Cheltenham. Ray, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Good, Ray.
Good. I just wanted to make a couple points here. One, I am from Cheltenham, so I wanted to talk about the boys and the state title, because I did make it out to Hershey last weekend and saw the boys play. And I must say, man, the offense is explosive.
You know, I may have made a mistake on the line.
I think you did.
Because, yeah, I hate to take it back now, but I did not take inventory of the fact that Cheltenham is averaging 43 points a game.
Exactly.
In the playoffs, and they won last week 56-40, but they gave up 49.
And that was my next point. Their defense is suspect, and more specifically, their run defense. Because, I saw the game firsthand, and the other team passed one time all game.
Yeah, I'm putting my faith in Archbishop Wood's experience. You know, they eked out a win last week, but they're very experienced, and I'm thinking that they can shut the Chelts down. But we'll see. 13.5 is the line I'm staying with.
All right, man. I may have to call back next week if they cover that.
Okay.
But my next point is about the Eagles. I think I'm as frustrated as anyone at this point, especially with that last loss, but I think we need to put kind of things in context a little bit. And what I mean by that is this. At the beginning of the year, everyone was on the hype train. Eagles were going to go to the Super Bowl because of what they had on paper. And I think we're all with the understanding now that nothing is really played on paper because injuries are a major factor. And that was one of the factors going into the season. And if we had a full roster like we had for the majority, except for the defense, at our first game, and we saw how explosive the offense is, I don't think all the blame would be going around at this point, especially offensively. But my main issue is with the ability to make adjustments, both on Howie and on Doug.
Mm-hmm.
Because Howie put that team together in the beginning, which we were all hyped about. So to put it all on him, I think is not necessarily justified. But the fact that he didn't make the trades when people were injured, and the fact that when people were injured, Doug was not making the adjustments in-game to be more of a run-heavy offense, which was, right now, is still our strength, I'd have to say, then that...
Well, without Jordan Howard, I don't know that it's a strength. You know, I've been complaining about his insistence on, like, he seems oblivious to the reality of his team. And the reality of his team is he doesn't have skill players. He's got two guys, really, that he can count on, and one guy who showed up last week but has really taken a downward decline in Jeffrey. So he's got Miles Sanders. He's got Ertz. I don't know why he insists that he's got other wide receivers. And that's the thing that befuddles me about Doug Peterson. But today, Doug had a hard time spinning his way out of trouble. And he especially aggravated Tyrone. Press conferences to me are, it's like throwing salt over your shoulder for me. I don't really take that much inventory of it because I understand that most coaches are just trying to survive their way out of it. A guy like Doug Peterson, who I don't think is a fast thinker on his feet, gets trapped by his own words. So let's hear. What's the first one, Tyrone, that we're going to hear?
The first one is about how this week, the mentality, the must-win mentality.
Must-win mentality. Here's what he had to say.
The main message is, listen, we're in a must-win situation. We know that. And really, it started last week, you know, and really coming out of the bye, if you want to think about it, go back a few weeks. But
okay, so what bothered you about that? And I tried to explain this earlier as to where his brain went on this. But what bothered you there?
Because basically, the media was asking, what's going to be different this week?
Right.
And he says, well, it's a must-win mentality. And if you stop right there, I'm good. But then he says, just like last week, you just lost. And then he said, just like since the bye, they lost all the games since the bye, which tells me he's got nothing different.
All right. Now, I'm going to give him credit for thinking quickly here on that soundbite, which I don't like to do.
Okay.
But when he said, this is a must-win situation, his brain then shifted up, and he went, wait, if I say this is a must-win situation, the fans are going to say, oh, the other games weren't a must-win situation. So then he said he covered his tracks by saying, well, frankly, every game since the bye has been a must-win situation. So you see?
Yeah, but
that was actually thinking on his feet.
What he should have done, yeah, but if you know that question's coming, have a set answer.
All right. By the way, that question, was that a Sal question? Sal always delivers the, what was the message to your team?
I don't, question.
Is that a Sal?
I think that was a Sal McManus.
Oh, it was McManus?
I thought so.
Okay.
Then the next one that upset me was, he was asked if he lost the team. Obviously, mm-hmm. he said no, which I expect him to say he hasn't lost the team. They asked him why, and this was the answer.
All right.
I can just sense and feel, you know, the energy of the group. Listen, we're all disappointed, but they also understand we've done this to ourselves, and they're ready to go back to work. And I've got to bring that energy, and then that's what spreads out through the rest of the team.
That was a double repeater at the end there.
Yeah.
He double repeated.
Which tells me that wasn't ready for that one.
That was a homina homina.
Yeah.
Yeah. Double repeat action.
I'm telling you. And he does it. He did it during the Super Bowl, to be fair.
Yeah, that's my
I think changing on the fly is a little bit difficult for him.
You're right. He needs an extra second.
He does.
So he repeats what he just said to give himself an extra second.
Yeah, and he does a lot of, I have to cut those
now,
out, too.
I can sense and feel the energy of the group. A wise-ass reporter would have then said, did you sense any energy in the second half against Miami? but the wise-ass retort did not come from the reporters.
And last for me was, he said he wasn't making any changes towards position coaches, and a lot of fans have asked about it, and the media doing their job ask him about it, and he says that they're doing a good job, and they say, well, how do you measure your position coaches? And this was his answer.
Okay.
I want to be upfront with them as well. I say, listen, your performance is based on your players, right? And how well they perform. And obviously they can't control injury and all that. And that's where it starts. So the message is clear early in the season.
All right, and what was your problem with that? He's obviously not going to throw his guys under the bus.
That's fine. Then you say it's complex. We can't get into it all here, but they're doing a good job. You say something else. Instead, he says it's based on the players. Well, offensive line, okay, that guy might be doing a good job. Wide receivers coach, terrible. Quarterback coach, terrible. Defensive line coach, terrible. Secondary coach and defensive, terrible. So since none of those got linebacker coach, therefore, I have to then say you can't be happy with your guys, your coaches, and then say it's based on a player performance when you're under 500.
I think what he's saying is he is blaming his position coaches, because what he says is how they're reflected is how their players play. So he's basically saying, you can see it for yourself, they're not playing well, so that means my position coaches aren't really doing their job, without him saying they're not doing their
job. But he's already said they've done it. They're doing a hell of a job. We're not going to make any changes.
Yeah, but we already know that's BS, because they're not doing a hell of a job.
Well, he's saying,
and I think in that, he's admitting it in that soundbite.
Sacrifice somebody.
No, you can't do that. Jerry and Ridley, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jerry.
What's up, Mike?
What's going on, Jerry? How you doing?
Nothing. I got two quick Eagles points.
Yes, sir.
So I found the solution to the Eagles problem.
Mm-hmm.
In the offseason, we trade Dougie P and Carson Wentz for Bill Belichick. Then we have the stud and the professor Bill Belichick spearheading the Eagles attack next year, and we go back to the promised land.
Yeah, it's kind of a silly look at it, Jared, right? Are you just trying to be silly?
No, what's wrong with that? Why wouldn't they go for that? The Patriots, Tom Brady's going to retire, maybe leaving soon. They need a quarterback. They don't have a backup quarterback anymore, so we give them Carson Wentz.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Thought that was pretty good in the preseason.
Yeah, that's
wrong
not,
with that?
Nah, that's not going to happen. I know. You're trying to get a little chuckle. I get it. It was fairly amusing, but come on. It's 5:16.
How about no?
You're like, come on, buddy.
Come on. Michelle in Lehigh Valley. Michelle, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Michelle?
Hey, Michael. What's going on?
You didn't call me Michael Gary. What's up?
You're right. Michael Gary.
Come on. What's going on? All right. Normally you're green. I'm used to that. It pumps me up when I hear that.
I know you rely on that.
I do.
I can't let you down. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Disappointed after last week, for sure. What happened to the defense?
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. That's turnover the post-game spread worthy, that defense in the second half.
I mean, so I don't think Dougie P's going anywhere. I think he's going to need to clean house on the position coaches, and Howie's going to have a lot of work to do because the team needs some serious rebuilding. Sal keeps saying this is one of the oldest rosters in the NFL.
Yep.
It's going to be a lot of work.
It is, and that's why I go, like, next year, what's the best they can do next year?
Exactly.
You know, and
happy to be in the division next year.
Exactly, and does that get the coach fired? Because I don't know that they can do enough to be a viable contender next year.
Oh, I don't think they can blame it on the coach if they don't have the players.
I don't know. I mean, that's usually what falls. Because your fan base has to be answered to.
Correct. But I think if we realize that they don't have what they need, and they're going to need one or two seasons to get it together.
Maybe. But has he impressed you with the way he's handled this depleted roster?
No. He misses Frank Reich. I don't care what anyone says. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm a little down on his ability to actually, you know, I don't know what goes on through the head of this guy sometimes.
He's looking lost. All right, Michael.
All right, Michelle.
Hope for better on Monday night.
Is it chilly up there, Michelle? Is it cold up there in the Lehigh Valley?
Yeah, we're actually getting flurries.
Oh, boy.
Believe it or not.
It was flurries this morning in my house.
You came to Bethlehem. You didn't even call me.
I know. You say it's Michelle Lehigh Valley. I don't know you're in Bethlehem. You know, you just give me the vague Lehigh Valley.
I just give you the whole Lehigh Valley.
That's right. All right, Michelle, we'll talk to you.
Have a good one. All right. Bye.
Yeah, Michelle. Michelle's kid is a good golfer, good age group golfer.
Look at that. So, but he's got to have a lot of scratch to play golf, right?
I don't know. I don't know if he has any scratch. She has any scratch. Maybe he just picked it up as a natural.
Nah.
Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods' dad has some money. And
well, he didn't have money.
Yeah, well, he started pimping him out at a young age. He's making money doing appearances, going to Tonight Show, going to Stanford. Well, yeah, he had money.
But the kid was a natural. The kid had to pick up a golf club before he did the
oh, yeah, no, he was a natural.
Yeah, and that picked up a guy, and it was, you know, indigenous to him.
But I'm saying...
Yeah, but in order to, like, practice on a course, don't you have to have...
Pick up a golf... The father played on munis, right? So he takes the kid to the driving range. He puts a club in the kid's hand, and all of a sudden it's magic. He goes, well, look at that swing, and then he provides opportunities for him. But you have to have the natural feel first.
Yeah, I'm not knocking that they have money. Good for them for having money. But I just can't imagine.
She has money or not? What do I know?
Good for them. I'm saying God bless them that they have money. But I don't believe the kid in North or West Philly.
He went to a muni, and he schlepped his clubs on his shoulder, and... self-taught.
I mean, how much do clubs cost?
I got a feeling that most naturals in golf parents... got a scratch. I don't think you could be a natural. It's not like basketball. LeBron James of golf's not coming out of the inner city.
It's not impossible.
I
don't know. I mean, look at all the courses
cool
around here. You can go here for like $10. Walnut to the Lane and Cobbs Creek and all those courses that were around here.
$10 a round?
Yeah, back in the day. Yeah, it was cheap to play those munis.
I'm talking about now. If you got a kid right now, is 5 years old.
There's some munis in Lehigh Valley there that are inexpensive.
I'm happy for her.
Michelle's got to give a call back and give us the lowdown.
She's doing well. I'm happy she's doing well.
She shouldn't tell us.
She shouldn't tell us. I'm glad she's doing well. That's I'm
you're
not
just
knocking
saying golf.
It.
Golf is kind of like hockey. Like you have to have money to play.
Yes, yeah. That's all. The next, like the Tiger Woods, the Jackie Robinson of hockey will not be coming from the inner city. That kid will be coming from the suburbs, and the parents will have a big old house, is all I'm saying.
All right.
Because it's an expensive game.
I got you. Dave in Marlton. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Mike, how are
What's
you?
What's up, Dave?
Quick thing with the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
So excited with what they've done already, with getting Girardi and the new pitcher.
Yes, I am too. But they got to do a little more. See, if they listen to me, their lineup would be set. I even got the lineup. I put a lineup card up down already with my lineup.
Right. Now, is Girardi going to tink down and move Kingery from center field to second base to third base, or is he just going to stick him in his position?
Well, see, that's the million-dollar question. See, Klentak likes to fiddle-faddle here with this front office saying, well, we need a guy to play third base until Bohm's ready, and then so they carry a guy they shouldn't be carrying, and it messes up the whole works. The Mike plan has a player per a position.
And that's how Girardi works, isn't it?
Well, you know, listen, he only has so much control over who he's going to acquire, right? The front office has to acquire or make the deals to move guys out of the way. Now, I'm pretty sure he came in and he heard about the Segura nonsense. And so right away, what he did was he went on the offensive and said, I like Didi Gregorius, right?
Really?
Yes. They're pursuing Didi Gregorius. Why do you think that is? That's because of Girardi.
Right. And then I haven't heard anything about McCutcheon.
He's back. He's going to be back. He'll be fine, yeah. Yeah, he's
going to... he'll play center field?
No, he'll play left field.
Left field.
Yeah. They'll have to find a center fielder.
Right. And then the other thing is, you know, think about Realmuto behind the plate having three different pitchers that he can game plan with. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Instead of the garbage he had last year that he had to deal with.
I agree.
Right. And then, oh, the one other thing. You had the 20 concerts...
Mm-hmm. Yes, the the 20 top.
Did you fill the last?
I did not fill the last couple.
I have one.
Who you got?
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
No.
Oh, come on.
No. Not the top 20. Correct?
No.
Not top 20. They're too niche.
You're on your feet the whole concert. There's four guys just jamming.
Yeah, I know. They're exciting to watch. They're not top 20. I know you like
them.
Well, we didn't even put Def Leppard or Leonard Skinner, like bands that are more are bigger than the Red Hot Chili Peppers. No.
The Giants have been around so much longer.
I can't stand anything Kiedis. He's not getting ever on my top 20.
I'm saying you should be
personal.
Should be in consideration.
Did I ever tell you that someone told me I looked like a Red Hot Chili Peppers fan? They said, you don't look like a fan of this band. And I said, well, what band do I look like a fan of? And they said, Red Hot Chili Peppers. And I don't know what that means.
Don't get me wrong. I like the Chili Peppers. I don't like them now. But I liked them in the Blood, Sugar, Sex, Magic era.
Yeah. I think they're a little poppy now, in my opinion.
Well, they're trying to like come into with a semi new sound, but they're not. Yeah. They're not a top 20.
No, I agree.
All right, 610-622-0975. You want to hop back in on the other side? I got my Phillies lineup for you. It's all settled. We're back into this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Final Twitter poll numbers at 5:30, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you're wondering what to get the family this year, here's a great idea. Give them their weekends back. Especially the man in your house who has to schlep with the lawnmower. Get him a Husqvarna automower from Paul B. Moyer and Sons, where he can just work it with his phone. Check out the automower in person. Paul B. Moyer showrooms in Doylestown, or you can check it out online at paulbmoyer.com. All right, I was just musing a Philly starting lineup according to Mike. And here's what I've got. Oh, excuse me.
Before, are you musing the final Twitter poll results?
We have to get the Twitter poll. I'm sorry. Now, how could I just do the lead-in and forget the Twitter poll?
I think you're just mindless. One step ahead,
I'm
Mike.
I'm Doug Peterson right now.
A little bit. Okay, over 1,700 votes on this one today. Do you still believe in Doug Peterson? 54% say yes, 46% say no.
All righty. Well, Doug's still ahead of the game. And Booney's going to put the graphic up on TV. My only problem with this is it's heavy right-handed. And I'll have to deal with that at some point. But here's my lineup for next year. Your leadoff hitter, McCutcheon. In the two-hole, Didi Gregorius. Harper, Hoskins, Realmuto, Jetpacks at second base. Alec Boehm hitting seventh in an RBI spot, but not a pressure spot, playing third base. And my center fielder is Kevin Pillar, with an occasional start from Adam Haseley. Now, I'm not a straight platoon, because that means Haseley would get more at-bats than Pillar would, because of more right-handed pitchers. So Pillar has the spot, and occasionally Haseley will start for me.
It probably end up being about 100 to 60 over the course of a year.
Right. And that's good.
Yeah.
See, now, it's a right-handed lineup. So late, you know, they bring in a right-handed hammer, and you got some problems, maybe. My utility players on the squad will be Haseley, Josh Harrison, which was, by the way, a decent pickup for them as a utility player.
Yeah.
Got a little pop. Nappy.
Yeah.
And either a left-handed hitting outfielder or another, like a switch hitter or utility infielder.
And you know what else? Isn't this the first year with the extra man?
Oh, it is?
I think
26?
I think you have a 26th man. Oh, I saw something about that this year. And then some teams are going to go with an extra pitcher. And some guy's going to go with a hitter. And then somebody's going to, they say some's going to mix and match, bring a guy up, send a guy down, depending on what they need. But I think you'll have a 26th man this year, which could be fun to tinker with a little bit.
I like it. Somebody just sent me, Tyra, I'm giving you a heads up on this, because I guess you got to get involved in this early. Stadium tour this summer at CBP.
Yeah, who?
You see it?
No.
Motley Crue.
Oh, come on, man.
Death
really?
Leopard. Wait, I'm not done. Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison, and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. You in?
Hold on. I'm trying to be fair about this, because I don't want to insult people. Joan Jett, I've seen her recently on TV, performing live.
Yeah.
Still kind of has it, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Don't hate Poison, to be honest with you. First two do nothing for me.
No.
Every rose has its
like, there you go. Classic rock ballad.
Yeah,
is Brett Michaels going to be, is he performing?
I would assume.
Because remember, CeCe wrote the song. CeCe wrote
his hairline.
CeCe wrote it. So that's why sometimes CeCe will go without Brett, because he's like, it's his song because he wrote it.
All right.
No interest at all.
I think that's an outdoor concert.
Was it something? I'll tell you that.
So the guy sent it to me. He also sends me the old joke, what has nine arms and sucks?
Come on.
And of course, that would be Def Leppard.
And they're not a top 20 band. I can't stand them.
All right, let's go. Jay in Oxford. Jay, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jay.
Yes, sir. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Jay.
Zach Wheeler, I hope it's not the latest Trojan horse from the Mets, like Vargas was last year. I looked up the ERA against the Nats, 27 innings, 21 earned runs for Mr. Wheeler last year for a wonderful 7 ERA, and against the Atlanta Braves, 6.67 ERA. That's just some facts of the two teams that we're trying to get better than.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, I can't argue with those stats, but tell me how the Phillies rotation is worse with him.
Well, I don't look at it as trying to see if we're worse. I want to win.
It's kind of the only thing, isn't it? Aren't they better? Isn't the object to better your team? Aren't you bettering your starting pitching staff?
Not if I've got.
You're not bettering your starting pitching staff with a guy who throws 98 miles an hour.
No,
whose ERA overall was 3.5 last year. You're not bettering your staff.
If you're shutting out the Miami Marlins,
who did you want, Jay?
Who did I want?
Yeah,
I'd rather let him try to get Rendon and or.
Well, who's to say they can't still do that?
Well, they can. I just wish they would have saved their money, because I don't think this one is the answer.
Again, I'll ask you the question, Jay. It makes their team better. They still have money to get other players. What's wrong with it?
Well, I disagree that it makes...
Who would you rather have in your rotation? The guys they have now?
that would be fine with me. Because
well, then guess what? That's where you got to go. Spanky in Cobbs Creek, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Spanky.
Sorry, Mike. I'm in Philly. I just made a great cheesesteak for me in the case.
Oh, nice, Spank. Spank on the griddle.
You know, the secret to the cheesesteak is the roll and the seasoning.
Absolutely.
Mike, Jamal Crawford is still out there. I'm going to keep beating this horse to his dead because he's the only one out there right now that I feel comfortable with them bringing in without them having to spend major money. That should be on his roster. He created his own shot. At 39, he still can play. Why are they not taking a flyer on this dude?
They may before too long. I agree with you. The one thing that they lack is a guy who can, with the bounce, get to spots and make shots.
Yeah, this dude make buckets. You already. And I keep seeing these proposed trades. This is stupid. They talking about bringing JJ back. I don't want JJ. I think JJ had his time here. I don't want him back. They talking about giving up Mike Scott, which I think Mike Scott is not giving us nothing right now. Jonah Bolden and them cats. I love this team, and I think they're starting to gel right now. But if they don't get somebody off else besides James Ennis off the bench that's giving us a little bit more spark, I don't see us beating like your Boston or Toronto. I think we still don't have problems with them. And as far as Doug Peterson go, Mike, man, I don't want him no more. I don't feel confident in this team no more. And to start from him, just the way just his demeanor, I just don't. If they get into the playoffs, that's great. But I don't see it happening, Mike. I think they're going to miss out on the players. I think Dallas is going to beat them out. I don't feel comfortable with him at the helm no more. Not the way the way it's currently constructed. Something about, he just don't provide spark for me.
I think a lot of people think the same thing.
I can't believe after all the hype that we had going into the season that it ain't even Christmas and we ain't going to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. I got you. They may sneak in, but we'll talk about that later. One thing I'm going to leave you with here. Rumors are that the Sixers are looking at Jordan Clarkson. How would you like that?
Yeah, I heard that too. He's all right too. He's a younger guy. He can shoot it a little bit and he can create his own shot. I'd rather have Jamal, but I'll be all right with Jordan Clarkson. He's okay.
All right, you got it, Spanky.
Rather have Jamal. Why would you rather have a 40-year-old guy than a guy in his 20s?
Well, I guess he feels more secure with Jamal Crawford because he's done it.
There's a reason he's not doing it in the NBA.
Well, he's 39.
Right now.
That's why.
I'm saying if you're going to the playoffs and you're going to you want to make a long playoff run, wouldn't you want a guy who's going to hold up physically?
Yeah, but again, you get Jamal Crawford, you're playing him 15 minutes anyway. So I don't know. Either one works for me. What would you have to give up for Jordan Clarkson?
Probably a two. Not a lot, because Cleveland's.
They take Furkan off your hands?
That would probably get it done. And then, because they're most likely going to have to move both Love and Tristan Thompson before too long. Right now, they have to give the appearance that they're trying to win because that coach actually has them playing pretty hard. But once the first of the year comes around, you go, all right, let's stop pretending. What do we have Kevin Love at 20-some million for? Why do we have Tristan at the max? Like, what for?
Yeah. And actually, the yellow shoes would work with Furkan in Cleveland.
It would work.
It would match
a lot better.
Yes. We've got Sound Off in 5 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
You got a beef with me? What in the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number 5 will always love you.
You can't chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com. Let's get going.
Sound off. All righty, it's time for Sound Off. The Sound Off line, as always, 610-771-9705. If you've got something to say, you might as well just hit us up on that number and leave a message. It's one way to get your voice heard on the Mike Mussinelli Show. Let's see what we have today.
The one thing that I feared from day one with Carson Wentz, that Doug would fall in love with Carson's IQ and his arm and become a one-dimensional coach, which he has been. Doug has to stop trying to make Carson the hero and just win the game. You think Belichick cared that Brady didn't throw a touchdown 2 weeks ago? They won.
Carson have a high IQ?
Yeah.
The IQ comes out?
Yeah, he has a high IQ.
He does?
You don't have high weapons.
All right. I never thought about the IQ part of it.
He did really well on the Wanderlick test.
Oh, he did?
He did.
Yeah, no, he's a bright guy.
Yeah.
Just, he actually good IQ?
I think he scored higher than Jared Goff that year.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
I took my son to an Eagles game. First game ever. They lost to Seattle, and then they lost last week. Not good.
Leave the kid home, I tell you. Yeah, here you go for me. It's a coincidence.
I think we need to back off Doug a little bit. He definitely deserves some criticism, and he hasn't been good this year. And to be honest, he sounds like a bumbling idiot at press conferences. So I think a lot of that is he's at a loss for words. He's trying to take the heat for his players, and they keep letting him down. And he's at a loss for words.
Well, that's a good thing you stayed off him. The bumbling idiot comment would indicate otherwise, however.
I heard you talking about maybe Carson thinking about the baby at home and not being able to tell people. That should have nothing to do with the game. Stop thinking about trying to put the ball in the end zone at home and put the ball in the end zone in the field and maybe the record would be a lot better.
No, I never said anything about his baby. I don't know if you got that. There was a caller that said something that he got married and he got worse. Maybe that messed him up.
No, because he announced that he's having a kid. He even said, you said it. He made the announcement that he's got the baby.
Oh, Carson made the announcement.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, yeah, he's happy.
Yeah, God bless him.
Yeah, like, wrong with that.
That's good.
I totally appreciate Nick Foles and his help in bringing us a Super Bowl. However, I'm truly tired of hearing his name in reference to the Eagles. Nick not being here has nothing to do with the Eagles' poor play. There are so many other contributing factors.
Well, I think you have the right spin on it, ma'am. But Nick is, the ammo has kind of gone out of the cannon at this point for my man because he lost his job, so there's not even a comparison you can make.
I'm trying to understand. You guys are scared of needles. Come on, Mike. I've been getting needles since I was a kid. Never bothered me. Don't know why. Blood has never bothered me. When they have to take blood through you for tests and things of that nature, it's never bothered. I'm like Tyrone. Hey, whatever. Let's move on.
I actually like the fact that I'm afraid of needles because that prevents me from being a junkie. That's the way I look at it.
When was the last time any of the Philadelphia teams hire a real good coach?
Okay. I don't know. Listen, Brett Brown, AV, I know people are down on Brett, but the tale needs to be told. And then you got Joe Girardi, so you've hired some good coaches.
If you're so confident about the Sixers being better than the Celtics this year, let's make a bet. Make a bet, Mikey Bitt.
Nah, man, I don't really care about your Celtics. You know, who am I going to stay up at night worried about the Celtics? If they're good, they're good. Close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off. Brought to you by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. RothmanSpine.com.
You got enough beef?
I don't like them.
What are the limits?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at
610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
See you later. I have a sound off. I'm feeling a little weak now. That one vial of blood finally caught up to me. I don't know if I can make it home. It's a trying experience. Anyway, stay tuned. The Cousins Corner is next, live from Parks and Sixers at Wizards, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Of course, you can see the game on NBC Sports Philadelphia. No, you can't. It's the Flyers tonight. It's on Plus. So on NBC Sports Philly, stay tuned for a quick slant, and then the Flyers pregame show on hockey. Have a great night, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bring on the Giants. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, where you're more than a customer, you're a family. Shop online anytime at familyautos.com. Eagles continue to prepare for the Giants on Monday night. Doug Peterson discussed this game being a must-win.
We're in a must-win situation. We know that. And, you know, for me, I got to stay the course. I got to stay transparent. I got to stay as honest as I can with the team and say, listen, guys, we're in that must-win situation right now. And it's as much on us as coaches as it is players. And that starts with me.
Sixers return to action tonight against the Wizards. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic at 7. Flyers look for win number 6 in a row against the Coyotes. You can hear that game on WMMR at 7. Phillies have signed free agent pitcher Zach Wheeler to a 5-year contract worth $118 million. Fanatic Pro Shop is now Fanatic and Philly sports-themed apparel and merchandise at discount prices. Fanatic Pro Shop at 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Well, it's Mike Miss here. I'm telling you about my new favorite drink maker. It's called The Drink Works. It's made by Keurig, but for cocktails. Yeah, that's right. You heard it right. Now, I made a couple drinks last week. You put the water in, you put some ice in the tank, boom, and you can make a drink. There are 30 varieties of drinks that you can make. So, whether you like old-fashioned, Moscow Mules, margaritas, gin and tonic, even sangria, and even beer. The drink maker works like a fancy automatic espresso machine. It takes only 60 seconds to make the drink. So if you get a lot of people coming over for the holidays, this is a wonderful gift. Early bird discount right now of $100 they're giving you. And this week only, they'll give you another 50 off. So a total of 150 savings with my code Mike. And they'll throw in free shipping. Now the only way to get this amazing drink maker called The Drink Works is by going to drinkworks.com and use my code Mike at checkout. You'll save $150 off and get free shipping. Don't wait. This amazing offer will not last, and it's only for my listeners. So check it out at drinkworks.com with the code Mike. And remember, please enjoy responsibly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.